Okay. I'd like to call the October 13th, 2005 Recreation Parks Commission meeting to order. Am I on?
Yeah, I hear you.
Would I say the Pledge of Allegiance?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Commissioner Wilson.
Here.
Vice Chair Winter.
Here.
Commissioner House.
Here.
Commissioner Munoz.
Here.
And absent are Commissioners Solu and Commissioner Smith.
Public comment period. We have no public, so we have no comment. And therefore, no actions in regard to public comments. Approval of minutes of the September 8th, 2005 meeting. Do we have any corrections or additions to the minutes?
I'd like to move that we approve the minutes of the last meeting.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Minutes are adopted as presented. Andrea, any announcements, please?
I just have one this evening, and I don't have a date for you yet, but February 2006, which is actually right around the corner, all the Recreation and Parks commissioners will be invited to the annual commissioner. Look to February of 2006 for that event. And with that, Vice Chair Winter, I have no more announcements.
Okay. New business. First item on new business is the skate park rental agreement. Andrea?
Thank you and good evening again. This evening we're bringing to you a draft skate park rental agreement. Prior to the rehabilitation of the skate park that we have here in Morro Bay, it was available on a limited rental basis. Basically, the rentals were usually birthday parties, and they were provided for 2 hours.
Is that a siren, Jess?
Yeah. You want to wait now?
Oh.
Okay.
I don't think someone wants to have this topic discussed.
All right, we'll go back to that. Anyway, we're talking about the skate park rental. And we did provide for 2 hours of skate park rental with our staffing for a cost of $100. The rentals were available only during the hours the skate park were not open. And public participants or the guardian was required to sign a waiver. We have gotten several requests, or prior to rehabilitating the skate park, we had several requests for organizations and businesses to come and use the skate park for a skate contest that would not be affiliated with the city. As a result, we're bringing to you a policy or a draft agreement for rental of the skate park really in two areas. We'd like to continue to offer rentals for small events. And basically, a small event is similar to the birthday party. It would be a city-staffed event. The cost would be $100 for 2 hours. Events would policy or a permit for a large event. And that's, again, in cases where an individual or organization comes forward and wants to use our skate park for a skate contest. Parameters that we're looking for the large event is that we'd have a permit similar to the public area use permit filled out. We would require that the agency provide liability insurance, naming the city of Morro Bay as additional insured. It's our standard requirement. I would note that currently we have liability insurance, a possibility of obtaining liability insurance through a company that the city works for. I'm sorry. Boy, let me start over. We currently work with a company that can provide liability insurance for organizations or for individuals using city facilities. However, those two companies that we currently work for will not cover skateboard events. So in this case, the organization or group would have to provide their own. They would have to have their own liability insurance, which certainly is a possibility, but it means that probably just an individual would have a difficult time offering a skate contest at our skate park. We would look at some pretty significant damage and cleaning deposits. We would be looking for a $500 damage deposit and a $200 cleaning deposit. The reason being is that oftentimes at skate contests, they hand out stickers and that sort of thing. And so we would look at the necessity of having a cleaning deposit to take care of the skate park. Of course, those deposits would be returned upon completion of the event, and in the case that no damage took place. We're looking at a rental fee of $700 a day rental. We would not be providing staffing. Staffing would be on their own. And the existing rules is our old wooden ramp, so I'm anticipating that happening, and we would certainly like to have some policy for rental in place. Our facility is a little bit unique because it offers the street-style skating versus the cement bowl skating that's offered in Los Osos, so I think that, again, it's a possibility. That concludes my staff report. I'm happy to answer any questions and asking for the commission's recommendations for forwarding this to City Council for approval on the master fee schedule or amendments or for staff to provide you further information.
Any questions for Andrea? Greg?
On the small event, so it's only going to be available for 2 hours, 2 days a week?
That's what we've done at this point, and that's really it really is dependent now on staffing availability, and we'll find out later in our evening that we're very short-staffed. It's a possibility that we could expand those, but at this point, that's about all we can do.
And the large event, because it's not staffed, they can actually lease it for us full day Saturday and full day Sunday?
What we would do is look at, depending on when the skate park is open and not open, it would be working around those hours. We wouldn't want to close our public hours.
And as this is for the skate park at Tideland, not at Tideland, at Coleman, in light of the possibility of having the skate park finished at some time at the Teen Center, would we want to adapt a rental policy there, or is there any envisioning of whether that'll be rentable?
I think we would probably want to specify, that's an excellent question, we probably want to specify that this is for our Coleman Park skate park. And when we get our next skate park built, certainly want to revisit that because it's a larger facility.
And a different stuff.
That we looked at it now. We're really looking at a large event as a competition. When we look at our staffed event, we really can't handle a lot more than 20 skaters for in terms of staff and staffing availability for a small event. So we didn't set any strict parameters. If you're over this many, it's automatically a large event. But I think if you're going an all-day event, you're probably not going to have a party or that sort of thing as a an all-day event.
So you don't think you're creating a problem by not defining that?
We can certainly put in some parameters if the commissioners feel it's important.
If you don't think it's important, it
hasn't come up yet, so maybe we put in our parameters and go from there.
Okay.
Johnny, any questions?
Yeah, on the proof of on the liability, if they just come up with their own policy, is that normally enough to cover any injuries or anything that might happen?
Commissioner Munoz, I don't think your microphone's on. But you might want to repeat your.
It's up further. Toward you.
There you go.
Okay. Liability. Oh, did you hear the question?
I did. You might want to repeat it.
Okay. Since they're to provide their own insurance liability, would that be enough to cover to make sure that in case someone's injured or anything like that, there's no possible...
That's an interesting question, and maybe you're asking two questions. Typically, if part of the question is a homeowner's policy going to be adequate for them to name the city as additional insured for an event like this, I doubt it. I don't think so. The city standards are basically $1 million liability and coverage. And
I believe so. I was really just wondering if we don't provide liability insurance ourselves, is that normally adequate?
It's normally adequate. In the city, when we offer a small event, people are signing release of liabilities, and we're not requiring those people to provide their own. But because this is an event that's not staffed by the city at our city facilities, it's similar to a rental of the community center, then we're asking those people to provide liability insurance.
Okay. And if the event was a three-dayer and they wanted Friday, that's always that's going to be optional for them to get to. Sometimes they're three-day events.
We can look at the schedule. We try not, in all our facilities, we try not to cancel regular uses for special events, but we also try to balance that. I mean, it's not a hard and fast rule. For the most part, we try to keep our regular scheduled events, but if we had somebody that came in and that wanted a three-day skate competition, we might very well look at our scheduling and say, let's work around that.
Okay. And I guess the $700 a day is pretty, is reasonable, comparable to everybody else?
Well,
we're not charging too much? We think
that it's right in the ballpark. If we charged, our charge of 2 hours for $100 has been very well received for our smaller parties. I'm not aware that there are any other skate facilities that are renting on a daily basis. So it's really a trial and to see how it goes. So I think that we feel that we're right in the ballpark with that figure.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions?
I have one more question. The opening line under the large event says, in cases where an individual organization desires to rent the facility for a skate competition, the following parameters will be in effect.
Anything else? Do I hear a motion to forward this to the City Council?
I move that we forward the skate park rental agreement to the City Council. Proposal to the City Council.
As amended?
As amended.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The next item is Recreation and Parks Department program evaluations.
And we have none this evening for you.
Okay. The next item is the initial discussion on a special event policy.
Thank you. Once again, we, as the commission is aware, we have a number of special events in the city. And just to run through how we currently handle our special events, we have two permits that we generally use for events. And I'm going to talk really about large outdoor events, because our indoor events that we rent facilities for are covered through a facility use application. So when we're renting the community center or the library or the Veterans Hall, it's covered through a facility use application. When we're doing other events, if somebody chooses or desires to use publicly owned space outdoor, they're required to either fill out a public area use permit or a one-day use application. The one-day use application is basically used, and I think actually exclusively used, for any place, any reservable areas in our parks for group city services like police and fire. We have probably 8 or 9 per year, a couple of them that I'll mention. I know you're familiar with the July 4th event, the Harbor Festival, the Merchants Fair, the Slalom Skateboard event are just a few to mention that are large special events. Currently, we handle special events. We require that they fill out a public area use permit, and that comes back to the city. It comes back to the Recreation and Parks Department. The Recreation and Parks Department then takes that permit and routes it to all city departments. All of them, even if they feel there might not be an effect, it's run through all the city departments. The city departments each attach conditions of approval, send those conditions back to our department, Recreation and Parks, and then we send the completed application with the conditions of approval back to the applicant. Then they're required to meet those conditions of approval. At the department head level, we've talked for, it's been a couple of years, about some sort of special event policy that really outlines clearer what our expectations are, in addition to requesting things like maps, specific information about the event, tying applications with some sort of deadline. For instance, if you're choosing to use 4 or 5 streets in downtown Morro Bay, is it acceptable to request that permit a week in advance? So we're really looking at some sort of policies or guidelines for special events that we can give out and actually have our special events adhered to. I don't think that we're starting from scratch, because we do have a public area use permit and we do have a number of items on the back of the public area use permit. But I think that our delivery and making sure we'll know clearly what they need to provide, and the city will have a schedule for the applicant to provide those things. What we did tonight, and we're just beginning this process, I'm thinking that we'll maybe take a couple of meetings to look at this. We provided you a website only at this point to look at a pretty in-depth special event permit, actually an ordinance that the city of Pismo Beach uses. One of our department heads is worked at the city of Pismo Beach, and he thought that it was maybe a good place to start in looking at the policy or the ordinance that they have. And if you had a chance to look at that, you can see that it's very involved. I was hoping that the commissioners would have time to take a look at that. We also have been able to obtain a couple of other examples, and similar to the public art policy, the examples are really really all over the board, from a very simple policy, which I know some of the commissioners are in favor of, to a more complex, certainly like Pismo Beach, which is very complex. The one other thing that I wanted to add, and something that we're really interested in adding to our policy, and we can get to this as we work through this, is that it's been... For the last couple of years, for most of these events, we've met as a department head team with the event organizer prior to the event to look at, once they've turned in their application, and after the conditions of approval have been assigned, we've met with that applicant in a roundtable type discussion to make sure that everybody's clear on what's happening. Oftentimes, when you have a permit, and even when you assign conditions of approval, perhaps the applicant hasn't included everything that they're going to do, and it's much better, we found, to meet with that applicant and find out ahead of time than have surprises the day of the event. So that's what we're looking toward. Again, tonight I wanted to make sure that you knew.
Yes.
Okay, Sam.
So Andrea, will you be, you know, what I'd like some direction about what problems we've had in the past that we need to have this policy for. For instance, are people turning their permits in too late? Are they showing up for this meeting? I mean, is the meeting really happening? What are the problems that the city and the applicants have been experiencing, so we know we're trying to correct the problem?
Absolutely.
Instead of just creating another paperwork nightmare.
I can tell you that pretty much we're certainly looking at a timeline for applicants to provide their permits. We've had, for the most part, most of our applications come in maybe up to a month in advance. There's some exceptions, certainly, and we won't, all groups are not like that, but a number of groups wait till the very last minute to turn in their applications. That's been an issue. The meetings with the applicant have been very successful. So they've been excited about meeting with the department heads to talk about the applications and conditions of approval, so that's something that we want to continue to do. The other thing that we found is things like a traffic control plan. How is traffic going to be routed around your event? If we put in the conditions of approval, we need a traffic control plan. That's pretty vague, so we would maybe expound on that. We'd like a map of your event. What's happening at your event? Where are you going to put the sound stage, so that the amplified music is going to go directly into the residential area, or can we move your sound stage around so it can go out toward the bay? So maps of the event, what you're going to do, information about what's going on. So those have been the issues.
So maybe, for instance, setting up a timeline for specific things to be done.
Correct.
Such as the traffic control plan.
And a realistic timeline.
Right.
Because for the most part, if you're planning a large event, you're going to know, maybe 60 days. I think that's City of Pismo Beach does 60 days. You're probably going to know 60 days in advance what's happening at your event. So I think that setting up a realistic timeline is important.
Okay. Thank you.
Greg, any questions?
No.
Johnny?
No. We'll just have to go to that website and pull that down.
Can you email other examples of our websites?
We will be. And as I said, they're really, across the board. I think at this point, we'll probably be going in the direction of a policy. I don't think that we're probably going in the direction of an ordinance, but it's certainly, when we forward it to the city council, they have the ability to decide what they want to do with it. But if we can get some sort of draft policy going, and I'm certainly happy to share more than just this information with you.
May I ask one question?
Sure.
Are you looking for a minimum deadline? In other words, you cannot submit a request 2 weeks before the date or 1 week or something like that?
You know, with our filming permits in the city, one of the things that we try to do, on our filming permits, we have a deadline of, I think we need it a week in advance, but we do our very best. If somebody comes in today and they want to film on Sunday, we try our very best to make that happen. And so maybe what we want to do, instead of a hard and fast deadline, we will not be able to do this. We'll put in something that's a little squishy.
So we will just hold this and we'll see it again next month?
You will.
Okay. We're on to unfinished business. Continued discussion on the public art policy.
Last month, we talked a little bit about a public art policy, and Commissioner House had provided a draft policy. We took that policy along with some of the comments from the other commissioners, and I believe we've melded everything into this particular policy. I would ask the commission to take a look at this policy and see if you feel that this is what you're after, and if so, we'd be willing to forward this to the City Council as requested by that group.
Any questions for Andrea? Comments?
I think this is good. I think you did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I spoke about an ad hoc committee at the last meeting, but after that last meeting, I've had several people come up and say, that's great, keep it simple. And so I think we should just forward this on.
Johnny?
Actually, it looks good.
Greg?
The only thing I see that there's a typo might be missing is if the city decides to remove something, the city's going to incur the expense.
May remove. That's may.
Down at the bottom, number B, may remove from its collection any donated artwork if it's something like the entry rock. The city's going to incur the expense of removing that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And
I mean, it would have to be.
I think that because we are...
We're the owner.
Areas where we talked about ad hoc committees, there was one discussion about maybe having an ad hoc committee review this policy, and then I believe we did talk at one point about an ad hoc committee reviewing the artwork, but I think what we've done is decided that we will gather input from, and we've listed here, Morbay Art Association, Morbay Public Art Foundation, and the public at large, and the city boards and commissions, and finally a council. The other question, so it, by nod of heads, it looks like that's fine with the commission. Do we want to specifically name those organizations, or do we want to put or similar organizations? My thought is that I know the Morbay Art Association has certainly been around. I'm wondering, currently I know that the Public Art Foundation is here, but do we, if they cease to be in existence, do we want to leave that in there? Do we want to make it more generic?
Well, I mean, we could just make it public at large. They're part of the public at large.
What's up? It's really up to the commission. I just wanted to throw that out.
Oh, you're saying encouraged, so
okay.
I think that brings it generic. I don't think you're specifying that they have to be involved in it. We're just encouraging that. The names may change, and I think that's what you were going after.
Great.
I think it's fine the way it is.
Andrea? The one thing under selection criteria, it's mainly discussion in the context of an outdoor piece of art, and we don't say anything in terms of something that would be hanging in a building or placed in a building.
A mural on a wall on the inside of a facility. So is there a way we can change that?
Well, this doesn't eliminate that. I mean, if somebody wanted to donate a painting, it would not impede pedestrian or vehicle traffic, or it wouldn't do any of these things, so I don't see.
Do you mean like to add it to a building or something like that, or like our city hall building?
Mm-hmm.
The appropriateness of the site seems to
cover
everything.
Yeah, because if you take the tiles on the
library,
that could theoretically fall under this. I mean, I don't see anything that eliminates that.
I just wanted people to know that we would accept art. There wouldn't have to be an outside contribution necessarily.
Yeah, it doesn't say it has to be outside anywhere on this document.
No.
Just on top at the definition of public art, located in public places,
right.
You could add like and buildings and...
Well, City Hall is a public place, so it falls under that category.
Do you want to put a per in after that, indoor and outdoor, just
that's
to make
fine,
it clear?
Just so that
would that
people know.
Places, yeah,
that's fine.
So for the purpose of this policy, public art will be artwork located in public places, indoor or outdoor?
Okay.
Would that
yeah,
add some clarity?
Sure. Which also includes indoor, outdoor, maybe something like that.
On to the Recreation and Parks Department status report.
A couple of things to note on the status report, which is gives you an idea of projects and programs that the department is involved in. We are operating the fall hours for the teen center, which are Tuesday through Friday, 3 to 7, and Saturdays, 1 to 10. We are also open for Monday morning at the teen center, and I would like to change the number. I talked to Heather, who's been actually working at the teen center on Monday mornings, and she said that we have upwards of 80 students that are taking advantage of the teen center on Monday mornings. So it's an incredible group, and it's going very well, and it's, I think, a good program that we're offering. We are almost, I have completed, but we are almost complete on the paperwork for the reimbursement of the Rock Restroom Grant. I believe about $178,000 approximately is coming back to the city for reimbursement from that particular grant. We have contacted the state in terms of the Roberti Zebra Caris for the Del Mar tennis courts, and now they have extended the deadline for early winter for the grant award. And I'm not confident that we will even know in early winter. So we will keep on top of that for you. We have received the remaining 600,000. Excuse me. I was hoping we got 600,000. A few extra zeros. $6,000 from reimbursement of the Kaiser softball field fencing project. I have attached the most current expenditure for the Cloisters Assessment District. We're at about 17% of the year complete, and overall we're about 14% spent. So we're right in line for our expenditures there. The Coleman Skate Park, we did have one final piece that we installed or that has been desperately seeking staffing for the Kids Club program. We, as a result of our lack of staff, we have our supervisor working at the site, which makes it difficult here for coverage in terms of the people that we've laid off. So it's been an interesting fall. We have made some adjustments to the salary schedule that we have for those staff positions, so we're hoping that that helps somewhat. And we'll keep you posted on that. With our budget cuts, as you're aware, we have eliminated the printing of the community guide, and we're about a month past time when it would have been distributed for the fall programs. We have been working with putting our information on the web, and we're about done with that. It's not currently on the website, but it will be. It's almost finished. Unfortunately, the individual that's working on that is our youth services supervisor who's had to work out at the site, so it's been a little bit difficult, but she's almost got that done, and I think it'll be fantastic. We've fielded, I won't say a number of calls, but several calls about people looking for our brochure, and we've been explaining to them that, you know, currently we don't have one, obviously giving them the information that we've got about our programs and letting them know that it's going to be on the website. We are also coming back to you, I think, at mid-year and talking a little bit about what we think the impact was or is from not printing the Tides Community Guide, so we'll be bringing that back. I'm happy to tell you that the solar panel project, you know that that's finished. The panels are up. We are almost done with the kiosk design. It's been kind of a long project. We're working with a company up north that's going to be bringing down a triangular display for the lobby about the solar energy. Something that's even more interesting, though, that we finally fine-tuned or close to fine-tuning the software, and we've been getting a couple printouts. The panels were installed in January. The software came online in June. And so we were able to print out June, July, and August solar energy generation, which we are changing a little bit what we do with the foundation fundraising efforts, and we're going to be looking at combining the art show with the annual spaghetti dinner. So we're going to be having a big weekend in March. One of the downsides we felt with the foundation art show, which will be its third year this year, is that we have incredible artwork and a lot of really neat things, but we just can't get the people in. So we took a look at what we're doing, and we looked at the 400-plus people we have for our spaghetti dinner, and we looked at the less than 75 people we have for our art show, and we decided to combine. So what we'll be doing on Thursday, March 16th, is having a chamber mixer, and the art show, the art will be up. On Friday, the art will be up in and around the spaghetti dinner, and that should be interesting, although the artists seem pretty okay with that. We have an artist on our board of directors now that participated, and so the artwork will be up, and people will be able to bid on the artwork on Friday night, so we'll have a lot of those people hopefully bidding. And then we'll end out our art show on Saturday with a small reception and a final ability to bid. So in terms of event and staffing, that will be a big weekend for us, but I think it'll be a little bit less intensive than having two separate events. And we'll see how it goes and evaluate it afterwards. But we're looking forward to that. So certainly that's something to mark on your calendars. It is St. Patrick's Day on that Friday, and we know that, and we scheduled it, so maybe we'll have green spaghetti. but we'll work around that. We have removed the two picnic tables at the Creekside area at Del Mar. We had three reservable areas there, and we're now down to two because the creek has moved. And that work, we talked about it at our parks tour, but we have completed that work. Let's see, parking lots at Kaiser Park. We are looking at something that we need to have happen. And the last thing that I'd like to mention, but it's not on our status report, is that there is a pending Senate bill that hopefully we'll make it to the November 2006 election, and it's a Parks Bond Act. It's for $3.9 billion. We've been successful in our the last two Park Bond Acts. We've gotten money. The City of Morro Bay, I think, upwards of about $600,000 or $800,000 from those through competitive grants and per capita monies. So I'll be providing information to you about that. But at this point, it's SB 153, and it's moving along. It's similar to the last couple of Park Bond Acts that had money in different areas. They had money in the Roberti Zeeburg. They had money in soccer facilities and different monies here and there. So hopefully that'll be successful and be able to apply for more of those funds. That concludes my status report. I'm happy to answer questions if you have them about what's going on.
Any questions? Stan?
What was the raise in, what's the pay now for staffing at the kids club?
Oh, that's kind of a loaded question. It really depends. I think we start about $7.50 an hour, and I think we go up to probably 10 or 11. It depends on your qualifications, or not your qualifications, but the applicant's qualifications.
yeah, I wasn't going to apply.
We'd be happy to have you, Commissioner House.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
Johnny?
Later, as the budget permits, will we be adding those picnic tables back at another location?
We had thought about bringing to you, and we certainly Mar Park and make another area there reservable. We were kind of waiting to see what the need was, because if the areas that are remaining beyond the two areas I spoke of are on basically a first come first serve basis. So we could certainly look at that if we feel like if we get a lot of requesting and for reserved areas.
Thank you.
Greg, any questions?
No, I don't.
Could I have a motion to accept this for file?
So moved.
Johnny, a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? No. Okay. No citizens' reports or correspondence. Other reports, the youth services summary, sports report, facilities and service reports.
I will make a couple of notes on these reports. First, the youth services. We changed a little bit how we tabulated. If you'll take a look at that, we tabulated our kids club numbers. Currently, you're probably aware that we have four different programs that parents can enroll their children in: morning care, kinder care, after-school care, and drop-in care, and we have a set number of spots available. At this point, I believe our drop-in, our program is full with the exception of our kinder care program. So the numbers are going to be a little bit different than they were in the previous fiscal year. So we've broken those out for you currently. And then you'll see the old number to compare to. So for the next year, your numbers, it's going to be hard for us to compare numbers to numbers because it's going to be calculated a little bit differently. But we felt that was important because it's different than we're counting differently than we used to. I will tell you that our revenue generation, we did have to cancel our Oktoberfest softball tournament for lack of participation. I think we had 8 teams that had registered, and that was a little bit disappointing. But other than that, we are winding down our soccer program. We started basketball registration last night, and that is going well. And we'll start that program in December, so we're looking forward to that. I'll move on to facilities. And we've had the month of August and was actually a little bit slower in terms of facility rental, and you can see that our numbers are slightly down. But we don't anticipate that to be significant, and we'll kind of keep tabs on that and take a look in September and October. Overall, our facility revenue is a little bit lower than we projected so far for the first 2 months of the fiscal year. July and August is what we have reported on at this point. I'm not too concerned about that, but we are keeping pretty close tabs on it this year. I'm happy to answer questions about the participation reports if you have them.
Any questions? Have we been having any complaints about the cancellations of some of the programs in youth services?
Interestingly, we have had a number of complaints about the teen events, the star dances, the kickbacks. I've probably fielded 25 telephone calls, I think mostly from younger from teens that are very disappointed that those aren't happening. We have not yet really hit with the holiday tree lighting or the lighted boat parade, but I would anticipate that that's probably going to be a point. And at this point, we haven't really gone there, but perhaps maybe a mid-year budget review. We've had some complaints about the tides. We have had a number of, I wouldn't say complaints, but concerns about our front desk because we're open very limited hours. And it's been a little bit of a reorganizing people on how we're handling that. It's going better than it was. So we'll see. We try to encourage, it seems like if people come in and they see the front desk closed, they won't come upstairs. Even though we have signage up, so we're trying to train people to come upstairs. It's coming along.
Do you have a motion to accept these reports for file?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Senior report, I have no report, but maybe Andrea went, so maybe she has a report.
I did. I do have just one report. I did go to the senior board, and the particular reason I went is that we have an agreement with the seniors that is up in 2009 concerning use of this facility and their use here, and we just started our discussions about the seniors and some of their concerns about continuing on and what the city's looking for. So we started those initial discussions, and I would anticipate that we'll be going to senior board for the next couple months, making sure that we've got the concerns in line, and then probably setting up a couple of subcommittees to start negotiating about the future. And that was a positive meeting, and I was happy to go.
Okay. Any other reports from commissioners?
No. I'd like to report. The Marble Bay Friends of the Fire Station are selling raffle tickets and numerous other prizes, so if anyone wants to buy a ticket, they can call me at 772-8464, or they could contact Grace Melton at 772-9093, or Keith Taylor, but I don't know his phone number off the top of my head.
Okay. If there's nothing else, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.